Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding, man. Basketball has been awesome, college basketball lately. I've been prepping myself for saying this kid from Illinois' name for a couple of days. I'm nowhere close to getting it right. Just excited for the upcoming college basketball, and the Miami Heat play tonight, so we'll be over on Playback tonight, and I'll be on postgame on the Five Reasons Sports Network, where we are both contributors. So I'm doing excellent, outstanding, and busy. How about yourself again?
I'm doing good. A whole lot of Jimmy Butler trade talk.
Oh, that's already going on. I didn't even know.
Yeah, listen, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but a lot of Jimmy Butler trade talk as of the last couple of days. I am glad the Heat are back, even though I haven't really enjoyed most of the season from an entertainment standpoint. But hey, man, they're on a 3-game win streak. College basketball, there's a lot of good college basketball on right now. I still have to do way too much. Some would argue too much scouting for some of these guys in the 2025 class. So I'm trying to do my homework as much as I can. I know you are doing your homework. But yeah, man, I'm doing good.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it, man. I'm excited to talk about the Toronto Raptors 2024 NBA draft picks and their undrafteds. We're going to probably touch on them as well. And I kind of build this and promote this with their second pick first, which was Jonathan Mogbo. And then, you know, we'll talk about their first round pick, Jacoby Walter, as well. But I'll give you the choice. Which one do you want to start with? Who do you want to talk about first?
I mean, I'm good with whatever you want to do.
Sweet.
I'm very indecisive. When someone's just like, what do you want? I gotcha.
No okay worries. Okay with anything.
I'm going with the flow, man.
Go with the flow. You got to be like water. Bruce Lee said, be like water. So fit in any situation. Maneuver around any obstacle, and if you have enough momentum, you can break any obstacle as well. But anyway, Jonathan Mogbo, it's very intriguing, especially to the fan base for the network that we contribute to as well, from the Five Reasons Sports Network. The fans were enamored with Jonathan Mogbo. He's 6'9", 225 pounds, and he had the wingspan of a pterodactyl. He was the perfect big next to, now I won't say it, but he's playing actually quite a bit for the Toronto Raptors. He's played in 25 games this season. He's averaging about 16 minutes per game, 16 and a half minutes per game. His shooting was a mystery because he didn't shoot a lot in college. He definitely didn't shoot any threes in college, but his form wasn't bad. There was never like a glaring issue with his form. And so in the league, he's been shooting pretty well from three, about 36%, 37%, 47% from the field. But you know, he's been getting about 4.5 rebounds per game. The thing that I think where he has his biggest opportunity to grow, because in college, he was an excellent passer. He even initiated the offense for them at a very small school. But I think his assist numbers, when he starts really getting the game to slow down for him in the league, I think his assist numbers are going to shoot up. I really like the kid. What have you seen from Jonathan Mogbo so far?
The thing that's immediately popped out to me is how good he is defensively already, not just guarding his own position, which is like the 3-4 tweener, or even maybe like a 5, depending on how you view him. But like, he's so good. Like, I'm not going to say he's a one through five defender yet, because I mean, we're only a quarter of the way into the season, but he's certainly shown flashes of it. Like, he's guarding everyone. Like, he's perfectly capable of switching, like, as you mentioned, the wingspan. Like, he had like a 7'2", 7'3" wingspan.
Yeah.
And he's excellent at moving his feet. He's excellent at creating deflections with that wingspan. He's excellent at blocking shots. And he's very good. Like, he's very good instinctually, like on the perimeter against some of these like advanced level like ball handlers. Already for being a rookie. I know he played several years in college at several different programs. Like, he's been all over the place, but he just impacts wing in that way. And then like on the glass, like, he's been a hound on the rebounds. Like he's been one of their better rebounders, I would say. And like, obviously, you know, Scotty's dealt with some injuries. Olynyk's dealt with some injuries. I know Chris Boucher, I think to some extent has been a little inconsistent just from what I've seen. Maybe I could be completely off base with that. But it feels like Mogbo's he's been thrust into this kind of bigger role already. And he's thrived. And obviously the Raptors aren't a team that's really competing right now. Like, at the time of this, they're 7-18. Like, we knew coming into the season that they weren't going to be a team that's going to, you know, make a run for the play-in or whatever. Like, it's just that wasn't in the cards for them this year. Like, this is like one of the many rebuilding years that they're going to have for the next couple of seasons when they continue to stack the deck along with like Quickly, Barrett, so on and so forth. Barnes, who they just gave a big extension to. Like, Grady Dick's been playing better. Like, they're stacking the deck with the picks and the assets that they have gotten either via draft or via trade over the last couple of years after they parted with OG Anunoby, after they parted with Pascal Siakam, both at last year's deadline. Like, Mogbo's been thrust like into this like bigger role, even though he's only playing 16 minutes a night, but like they trust him a lot to do these kind of different things. And like, the shot has been more encouraging, I think, so far than what I perceived it to be at the beginning of the season, just in the sense that like, he is taking, it's not very many threes, it's on very low volume, but like, he is knocking them down at a 37% clip. Maybe that, you know, grows over the season. Like, he is shooting 71% from the free throw line. Like, he's been rather efficient in his role, in addition to what he brings on the defensive end, in addition to what he brings on the offensive glass, on the rebound. Like, all that stuff, I think, has been conducive to winning, in addition to his connected playmaking. Like, he's just been awesome so far to watch. And I think he's been very clearly, not a knock on Jacoby Walter, we're going to talk about in a little bit, who I've seen flashes from, but like, he's very clearly been their best rookie.
Absolutely. And you touched on something very important, and that's his length, functional size, and his defensive versatility. He's got excellent feet. He's super quick and bouncy for a guy his size. He plays a lot bigger than the 6'9 height that he has because of that wingspan, but he's agile enough to guard the perimeter players and the big wings. The shooting is real, man. I'm telling you, when I saw him in college, his shot was not bad. It just wasn't high volume, and it wasn't from as deep. He had a nice stroke, a nice touch. It just wasn't his thing. But his ability to facilitate, bring the ball up the floor, and initiate offense, his handle needs to be a little bit tighter at this level. But for his size and relative to his position, he's done excellent with that. One thing I want to point out whenever we talk about Mogbo is his free throw shooting. It is 71%. It's not excellent yet. And I think a lot of that is the speed of the NBA game. And a lot of these young players don't realize how much running, like how much faster the pace is in the NBA. And I believe that affects a lot of young players' free throw shooting percentage. So I expect that to go up. His foul rate is what you want to call it. His foul rate isn't that high either. He's only shooting one free throw a game, or a little bit over. It's not a lot. But one of the key takeaways when you know a player is comfortable and the game's not moving too fast for them are turnovers. He's averaging less than one turnover per game. And so he's played 25 games. I know it's a small sample size, but that's huge for a rookie to be able to stay on the floor. It's one of the things that'll get you off the floor real fast is if you're turning the ball over a lot. So I really like him. I'm really interested to see his growth in his career. I haven't been the biggest supporter of what the Raptors have done the last couple of years with their picks. Like Grady Dick is okay. I mean, one thing I knew about him, he had a nose for the ball. He hustled, but I just didn't think for as high as they were picking that he was really the guy that, you know, to take in that draft, but they did. But they cleaned up with Mogbo, man. I think he's a steal for where he was drafted. So the value they got, I think he was outstanding. We are going to talk about his teammate. And it seems to me that the Raptors just like the color green and yellow. And they're from two different schools, but both schools were green and yellow. Kobe Walter from Baylor. He was a guard. And every college game, I turn the sound off because I don't like to hear the announcer's analysis. I don't want to hear what other people think. I want to view these prospects and what happens through my eyes and my ears, like what I see. And so I very rarely listen to the broadcast. But after about four or five games and I've broke them down, or if it's a game I'm not going to analyze, I'll turn the sound on. And one thing I heard about Jacoby Walter a lot, he is a point of attack defender. And let me tell you, when you cut on the tape in college, he was not a point of attack defender. He was getting blown by on the regular. He's athletic, but he's not a point of attack defender, in my opinion and in my analysis. Now, he's got good positional size. He's 6'5", 180 pounds. He was also touted as an elite three-point shooter. Like, that was his thing, right? Like in college, am I wrong? Am I misremembering? Wasn't he supposed to be an elite three-point shooter? Yes? No? Matt?
I felt rhetorical.
Oh, it's not rhetorical. That's a question I have. Like I believe I remember hearing that.
34% on six attempts.
Okay. But wasn't it billed to you by like anytime Baylor played, he was a 3-and-D elite shooter guy? Point of attack defender, elite shooter.
That was the book on him, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't show up on tape, though. Like, I've never seen it. So I'm very interested in how his career path goes. He is shooting in the NBA in 11 games, playing 18 minutes per game in those 11 games, a paltry 20% from three on almost four attempts per game. 20%. He's shooting 69% from the free throw line. He turns the ball over more than Mogbo. I don't know, man. I don't think he's the guy. What are your thoughts on Jacoby Walter?
The percentages aren't great.
No?
From what I've seen.
Like, 20% is not good?
I mean, obviously, you look at it. It's not – the percentages aren't great, but there are things that I have been encouraged by. One of them actually has been the point of attack defense at the NBA level. Like, he – I think he's coming off his best game of the season. I think he was, like, 19 points on 12 shots against the Knicks. Obviously, with Scottie hurt now, he's going to be – he's going to be probably having a more expanded role in their rotation. There has been some very encouraging flashes with his point of attack defense, I think, so far at the NBA level. There also has been some stuff in the mid-range. Like, I was looking at it before. Cleaning the glass had him at, like, the 67th percentile for all of mid-range. I mean, again, it's mid-range shot. Like, sure, you can call it the worst shot in basketball, whatever, but, like, 67th percentile in mid-range accuracy, which I think is somewhat encouraging. I think it was like around 72% on long twos, which again, like, take that for what it's worth. The handle, I think, will need to tighten up over time, the playmaking. Like, he's not a guy that I'm going to rely on to create his own shot.
Right.
But he's shown very brief flashes, I think, here and there at the NBA level. Again, I still think he's pretty raw Just in this overall game, especially in that aspect, I don't know if it's going to get to the level that you want it to for someone who you invest a 19th pick on. Right. Or at least he did. He went 19, right?
Let me pull that up for
you.
Yeah,
he went 19.
Yeah,
he went 19. So, like, I don't know if he's necessarily going to produce to that level. But again, when you're talking about a mid to late first round pick, like, the hit rate isn't always great. I'm still holding out some hope. I mean, again, he's 20 years old. He just turned 20 in September. Like, he's still like a pretty young player. Again, the percentages weren't always great in college. He's still bad around the rim. He obviously hasn't been efficient from 3-point range. Something that I did notice when I watched some tape with the Raptors, like, it feels like sometimes it takes a little while for him to get into his shot, like get into his release.
Right.
Like, he doesn't have a quick release. And so that's something that I'm going to just monitor throughout his career. Like, it's not like he has like really poor form or anything like that. It takes a little while for him to get his lift, get off the ground, you know, which I find interesting, whether it's like off the bounce or on the spot up. There's some inconsistency there.
Right.
The 69% from the free throw line obviously isn't great. I don't know how much of a indicator that will be for.
I don't know if you know my rule, though. My rule for a guard, 80% or better is where you got to be. That's the minimum for a guard.
Sure, but not all players are going to start there.
I get it.
You can improve your free throw percentage over time.
You can.
Regardless of the position.
You can. Let me ask you this. All right. So we're going to play a game, which we've played on this channel before. We're going to go down the picks after Jacoby Walter. And you'll tell me in your analysis from the draft, who would you rather have? And I'll tell you who I'd rather have. Would you rather have Jacoby Walter or Jalen Tyson?
Oh, I'm Tyson. I like Tyson a lot before the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I loved his tape. I thought he was a better, you know, offensive player than Jacoby Walter. And I thought he wasn't a great defender, but I thought he was okay enough that I'd pick him over Jacoby Walter. Would you rather have Eve Misi or Jacoby Walter?
Well, you're picking all the prospects that I liked. So yes, I'll take Eve Misi.
No, but I promise I'm literally
I
just
thought
going
to go in order.
I am going in order. This is in order.
Oh, you are? Okay.
This is in order.
I don't have the draft list up right now, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, you thought I was baiting you. No, this is in order. This is in order.
Keep my eye on you.
Yeah, so Eve Misi or Jacoby Walter, we both agree Eve Misi was a much better prospect. Yes, all right. I'll take that as yes.
I mean, yes, but in this, I'm trying to think about it. Like, in this context, like, would you... I guess you could put him in the, like, with Jakob Poeltl, with Olynyk, with Boucher, like, you'd be okay to take that flyer?
Yeah, because there were guys in the second round that I could get as a guard.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just, do you think Misi would be where, I mean, obviously, New Orleans has been hit with
rash of injuries. But Poeltl's always like, injured anyway, though.
Right. That was one reason why I was down on them
heading
into the season.
Right.
I didn't think they'd be this bad, obviously. That's a conversation for another day.
Right.
But, like, do you think he would be getting the reps in this context? Like,
I think
he'd be getting some, sure.
I think so, because coming out of camp, they'd realize what he was. You know what I mean? Like, they would have saw it in camp. He's going to outwork those guys. He's faster than Poeltl. Poeltl's good. But he's faster than Poeltl. He competes. Yeah. I think he would have shown himself in camp and he would have playing time. Daron Holmes.
Olynyk's also been dealing with injuries, though.
Yeah,
so.
True.
So that's another part of it. Like, I think he'd be getting, you know, I don't think he'd be getting as much opportunity.
No, he wouldn't.
In New Orleans, but I still think he'd be getting run, sure.
Right. I agree. Let's move on to Daron Holmes. Yes or no?
I would probably select Holmes.
We're getting far down the list. AJ Johnson.
I'm taking Walter over AJ Johnson.
I would have taken AJ.
For this context, I could I I'd go back and forth with that.
That's what I'm saying. I would have probably taken AJ Johnson because of how he has the same, if not better, wingspan. He's a 3-point shooter, and he's got lively legs. He's quick. If you watched him in summer league, he was picking up 94 feet in people's jerseys. He's just really skinny. Like, he's really skinny. Kayshon George.
Probably Walter.
I would have taken Walter, too. I'm not a big fan of Kayshon George, although he is a knockdown elite shooter. That I knew. He just doesn't do much else. Pacome.
Probably Walter.
Terrence Shannon Jr.
Walter.
Ryan Dunn.
Knowing what we knew at the draft, Walter.
Yeah, I would have taken Walter too. And then Isaiah Collier is the last one we're going to do. Everybody loved Isaiah Collier. They were high, man. 15.
I would probably take Collier. Yeah.
Everybody was talking about taking Collier over Walter. For sure.
That range for me where it was like there was like a list of like three different guys.
Right.
Like towards the top. Names are escaping me right now, but
it was Jalen Tyson, Collier, and McCain. Like, those were the guards people were talking about for the Miami Heat prior to the draft. All right. Yeah, so
I would have taken Collier.
Yeah, so that's interesting because Collier got picked all the way down at pick number 29.
I can't believe you fell that far.
It's wild. It's wild. Dylan Jones went over Isaiah Collier.
I like Dylan Jones too.
Over Collier? Yes or no?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right, so let's move on. So we've talked about Jonathan Bogbo first. We've determined we like Mogbo better than Jacoby Walter as the pick. I think it's better value. I think he's going to be the better overall NBA player. Let's talk about a later round draft pick that they had. And that is one Jamal Shedd. Now, this is your guy. So talk to me about Jamal Shedd.
I like Jamal pre-draft just because of how much of an absolute bulldog he was on the floor.
He is a bulldog. That's a great description.
Like, he, to me, he felt like a Davion Mitchell replacement.
Yeah.
Like they were comfortable moving off of Davion. And he, I mean, obviously, well, like, I think over time, like, he was the leader of that Houston team. And we see, or at least through the early portion of this new upcoming college season, again, it's still pretty early. I don't think Big 12 play has started yet. Maybe it has.
No, I don't think it has. I don't think it has.
But like, we've seen kind of the ramifications of Jamal Shedd not being with Houston, just from like a leadership. Like, I think Kelvin Sampson a couple of weeks ago, he's like, "Yeah, we don't have a guy." Like, Jamal Shedd was that guy,
right?
Or I'm paraphrasing. Not word for word, but that's kind of the essence of what Kelvin Sampson said. He hasn't been great so far, obviously, at the NBA level. He's played 23 games, 14 minutes a night, 38% shooting, 29 from deep. But again, like, you can see the defensive point of attack prowess, him snaking around screens, him being like, he's small, sure, but he makes up for it with his toughness, with his energy, with his motor that he brings on a minute-by-minute basis, on a possession-by-possession basis. He's averaging 2 assists per game to just 1.3 turnovers, which I know you and I both had the questions about, like, okay, is that playmaking actually going to translate to the NBA level? And for a second round prospect, like, I wasn't banking on anything serious from him as a rookie. Again, he's kind of in this context to where, you know, some guys are getting injured. I know Quickley's dealt with multiple injuries this year. Like, Bruce Brown's dealt with injuries. Like, he's in a context where, like, he's getting run because of guys who have been hurt. And he's on, again, not a contending team. Not by any means. And so they want to give these guys some run if they're able to. And to some extent, at least from what I've seen on the defensive end, he's definitely shown the flashes that he showed when he was at Houston.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that, like, during the pre-draft process, I was like, all right, if Miami went with, like, a wing, like a Tristan Da Silva, I'm more than fine with them going, taking a flyer on a guy like Jamal Shedd in the second. Just because of how, just the mentality, man, the bulldog mentality, the he plays like he plays like he's 6'5" when he's like 6'1". Like, he, that's just the mentality that he has every single time he touches the hardwood. And like, that's something that I like, even though the offensive game may not be complete or the percentages may not be where you want it to be at.
As right. Well.
Yeah, no, I like his bulldog mentality. I like what he brings to the locker room. I think he's one of those guys that is good for the team. Like, his stats aren't going to show it, but he's good for the team. With that being said, I think he's going to be a better college player than he's going to be a better than a professional player.
For sure. I expect that from a second round pick.
You do. You do for some extent, but I just think some of his limitations are going to always be there, especially offensively. He's going to be one of those guys that you bring in to just bulldog defensively the other guard, you know, just and run the second unit and make sure you're not turning the ball over. He's not going to really give you a lot of offensive creation due to his size limitations. He doesn't finish well in the paint. His 3-point shooting isn't great. So it's a lot of intangibles with Jamal Shedd that you're going to want to see, and hopefully his game can develop. We got to give these guys time. You know the rule. It's draft classes. You can't grade them, because one thing that drives me crazy are these grades that come out on a draft class like after one season. This guy is a bust.
Insane. It, we see it with the Miami Heat 15 games into the season. Like, we were like, yeah, Khalil, I'm out.
Yeah.
They're sending him to the G League. I'm out. Like, come on.
Right.
Give him time. Patience is a virtue, man. Not all growth is linear. It drives me crazy, too.
But, you know, yeah. And so it's going to take 3 to 4 years before we know what we really have with this draft class. Jordan T, I really appreciate you stopping by. If you've stopped by, don't forget to like and subscribe. We go live every Tuesday and Thursday. The actual breakdowns of these prospects I put out throughout the week, at least one or two a week, from the 2025 draft. You can go back and watch all the ones from the 2024 draft as well. But Jordan T says he watches the team very closely. He believes that Jacoby Walter is an absolute stud. That's it, his word. I quote, dude, no way. Jacoby's going to be a stud. So he actually wholeheartedly believes in Jacoby Walter, and that is completely fine. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again in the future, I promise. I just don't see it. So I love Mogbo. I personally think Mogbo is going to have the better career for a variety of reasons. One, I think he's a much twitchier athlete. I think he's going to continue to grow in confidence. A guy of his size, his handle is going to get better because he's going to work on that. And his shooting's going to get better. I just think Mogbo has such a high trajectory, especially relative to draft position. The value is going to be insane. But I really appreciate the comment, Jordan. I there's nothing wrong with disagreement on this channel. I love it. We'll see who's right here in like 3 or 4 years. Hope if you're right, I'll give you the kudos. If I'm wrong, I take all of the criticism, as I always do. Matt will tell you, I don't shy away from any of the smoke. But Jamal Shedd, like I said, just a good team leader, good captain type guy. But there's one guy left that we haven't talked about, because those Raptors had 4 draft picks. 4. And that's one Ulrich Chomchi. Happened to be my best breakdown video, I believe, of the year, because people didn't know who he was. Ulrich Chomchi, I really like what this kid has. He's been playing basketball for like 6 years. Hasn't been a very long time. Super young, super raw prospect, Ulrich Chomchi. He was actually pretty high on my big board compared to what most people thought. He's only played one game in the league for like a couple of minutes. It's got like 1 rebound, no points. But that doesn't really tell you the story. If you watched him throughout the summer league in the combine, he would fight you. I mean, he would block shots. He would dunk on people. It wasn't always pretty in terms of his footwork and his fundamentals, but he has good feet and he can shoot the ball a little bit. He just has to hone it at the NBA level, work on that form a little bit. Oh yeah, man. Masai's one of my favorite GMs in the league, so don't take that as criticism, Jordan T. He's great at what he does, and he's great at the draft. I love what he does. I just disagree on Jacoby Walter. But Ulrich Chomchi, that kid, man, I think his future is so bright. I remember, you know, my guy Crash, Adam Bonilla from Philadelphia 76ers, right? Crash went to dunk on his head. And if anybody knows anything about Crash, he's broad, like really strong, put together athlete with the two hand jam on the break on Ulrich Chomchi. Chomchi comes out of nowhere, just blocks him right at the rim, blocked his dunk, threw it the other way. Kid's not scared, man. He's not scared. It's going to take time, though. You may not see tangible results for a year or two. What do you have? Any thoughts on Ulrich Chomchi? Do you know any much about him? Any thoughts at all on Mr. Chomchi?
He was very raw.
Yes.
And again, like, I'm just looking at, like, the G League right now. Like, he's not... You could see some flashes of him, like, shooting threes, like, corner threes and whatnot, with NBA Academy Africa, which is where he, you know, was prior to him being drafted. He's only shot 1 3 in the G League. Do you want to know how many blocks he's averaging?
2-3
in 21 and a half minutes.
Woo! I love it. Let's go.
Like, he's shooting 54% from the floor again. Like, he's not getting so much run. Again, 22 minutes a night for Raptors 905 through 10 games so far this season. He started six of them. He's averaging, you know, 6 rebounds a game, 2 on the offensive glass, but 3 blocks a game in 21 and a half minutes is very, very, very impressive.
Absolutely. And again,
it's a lot of raw. Like, he's going to continue to have to develop, continue to get stronger, bigger, and just, you know, maximize the role that he's in. And then obviously I think at some point he'll get a shot. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know. I can't remember. Did he sign like a second round exception or two way? Or
I'm pretty sure he's a two way guy.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say maybe at some point he gets an opportunity, not with the Raptors, but if he's on a two way, that's not a possibility unless they release him.
I'm going to check for you right now. Let me look it up here.
But I think like, at some point, he might get some run. I don't know if that's going to be like end of the season or whatnot. Just depends on how everything shapes out once the trade deadline passes and everything's again. Mm-hmm. Say it again. Toronto isn't a team that's going to contend. So there might be, you know, pieces like a Jakob Poeltl that they trade off come February. But I don't know yet.
Right. Nope. So, you're absolutely right. They're definitely not going to contend this year.
No, they're far from contention. They're far from contention. It's not close.
Right. Let's see.
Respectfully.
With all due respect, the most disrespectful stuff.
I'm saying that, like, they're not
going to
be a play. Like, I'm contending. Like, I'm talking, like, for, like, a playoff spot. Not even, like, obviously a title. No questions at all.
Yeah, he got his two-way contract prior to Summer League.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so he got his two-way.
That makes sense.
And it's funny, on this website, the picture underneath the two-way is him blocking Bonilla's dunk. So it stood out in other people's minds as well, that dunk. But all in all, I thought it was an outstanding draft, again, by one of the best in the business. I thought he did an amazing job with that. They are going to have an asset or two from this draft that other teams are going to want if they want to make a trade, or if they're just going to continue to develop them and add pieces around them, because the 2025-2026 draft are unbelievable. I think your Nevada team played last night, or is it tonight? Can't remember. It was either last night. Yeah, it was last night. I knew it. I saw it. Against New Mexico State? No.
Yes. No, against UC Davis.
UC Davis, that's right. Gotcha. I thought about that. I was like,
no,
we know.
Or no, not UC Davis. I'm thinking of a different team. No,
UC Santa Barbara?
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State. Okay. We were way off base.
UC Davis doesn't sign, right? I just watched it.
We were way, way off base. Ulrich Chomchi, I was really surprised he didn't get drafted. Like, I was shocked. I knew Ariel Hakporti was going to get drafted. But, oh, no, wait, he did get drafted. What am I saying? He went 57th overall, right before Ariel Hakporti. Dude, my brain's rattled.
Yeah.
Anyway, going on tonight, the Miami Heat will be facing this Toronto Raptors team. Is Mogbo even healthy? So I think he's hurt. Last time I saw, he was injured. Let's take a look at Mogbo injury. Appreciate that. Yeah, Jonathan Mogbo injury news. Here we go. And he's been ruled out for Wednesday's game. When was this? Hold on.
He's not on the injury report.
He came back November 29th. So he was injured, came back very last day of November.
Yeah, he's not on the injury report. So
I like it. So he's playing. I'm interested. I'm going to be super invested in this game tonight. We'll be hosting the Five Reasons Sports playback at playback.tv/5RSN.
Eternal Watch playback.tv.
What did I say?
You just said playback.tv.
Oh. Whoops. So listen to Matt Hanifin. Don't listen to me. But we'll be on there representing 5RSN as contributors there. So I'm super invested in watching Mogbo. I'm also interested in watching Jacoby Walter. I've watched a few games, but I'm not as excited. I know you guys love him. The poll says it all, man. I put a poll up there for you, and it said, Jonathan Mogbo, the better pick over Jacoby Walter, yes or no? 100% of the audience said no. So it's me against the world, baby.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody likes Walter better than Mogbo. Who knew? Jordan T holds a lot of sway in the chat. But yeah, that's really it, man. I don't have anything else for you today on the Toronto Raptors. Is there anything around the NBA or college basketball that you want to talk about? Have you been able to pronounce that kid's name yet?
Like Kasparis Jakučionis or something?
Yeah,
like
Jakučionis. That's it. That's what I heard Jakučionis, the broadcast say. Yeah,
it's something like that. I can't.
Jakučionis. That kid reminds me of somebody. Not his full game. I'm not saying it's going to be similar, but his shot creation on his step backs remind me of somebody in the league. And it's a big name.
Who?
I don't want to say it because people are going to get the wrong idea and say, Adele says this guy is X player. And that's not what I'm saying. Yeah,
someone's going to aggregate you.
They'll absolutely aggregate it. And they'll be like, he said this crazy thing.
That someone's going to be me.
But it literally, it's the way when he steps back and the way he takes threes contested on his step backs and his ability to make them is very reminiscent of one Luka Doncic.
Okay.
Only on his step backs. I'm not talking about any other part of his game. It's just the way he steps back into his threes reminds me of Luka a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. And as you know, I'm always skeptical of hyped up players until I watched them. And the more I watched them, by the second half of the game I watched, I was like, this kid's pretty good.
I can't believe you just said he's going to be Luka Doncic.
I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth. Someone's going to aggregate it. I'm sure.
Me. I'm going to
be. You're going to be.
I already did it right now.
It's already out there. That's right. It's
blown up.
Oh my God. No, but just the shot creation ability out of the step back reminds me a lot of Luka. His assist numbers are kind of overinflated to me. We're probably going to talk about him later in the college season when we start talking about individual prospects in the 2025 NBA draft. But I just wanted to throw that out there and get your thoughts on that. Do you see what I see, or am I tripping over here?
I mean, a little bit.
A little bit, right?
I guess, yeah.
You need more. He needs more. That's what it is. He needs more.
Just like with every single
prospect we've talked about so far, we need more. That's for sure.
Yes.
All right. Cool, man. Well, you can catch us every Tuesday and Thursday here on Hoops Profile. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Become a channel member for only $2.99. Get access to all of our video breakdowns of the prospects from the draft. As soon as the videos are done, you don't have to wait for them to be released. Get badges and emotes for the chat. I am going to drop 5 more gifted subs sometime this month at one of these live streams before Christmas. Maybe I'll do it closer to Christmas. We also got to figure that schedule out too. We'll talk offline what we're going to do around that time period. But again, thanks for everybody that stopped by. It's been an outstanding stream. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Matt, tell these people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_824_, that's where you can find me at on Twitter. I am not on Blue Sky yet. TBD if I'll ever actually go there. You can find me at hothopes.com. You can find me at mountainwestconnection.com. You can find me at vendettasportsmedia.com. You can also find me on watchplayback.tv/5RSN, where you can find Adele and myself. Talk, watch, cry, laugh, elate, whatever adjective you want to use, over the Miami Heat, who are currently on a 3-game winning streak, their longest of the season. They will be playing the Raptors tonight, inside Kaseya Center, as part of like the in-season tournament, extra 2 games that the NBA added. They play the Raptors and the Pistons next week. They play the Raptors tonight. And so we finally get Miami Heat basketball back after days of Jimmy Butler trade rumors, which drive me up a wall.
What? That happened?
Again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yes, that did indeed happen.
So he's not being traded to the Toronto Raptors?
No, at least not yet.
Not yet. I did see a picture. I didn't authenticate it, but someone said he dyed his hair orange. What does it mean?
Yeah, he posted it on Instagram.
But what does it mean?
Hey, listen, man. One Sean Strania said last night that Jimmy Butler wouldn't hate a trade to the Phoenix Suns. So, I don't know if that's a sign. Listen, man, he's been dying to share a lot of colors lately. So, it's Jimmy Butler, man. We're talking about a grade A troll. He's going to troll people regardless of people caring. That's just what he does. So.
Absolutely. Our boy Jordan T has said he'll take Butler if the Heat don't want him. And so I wrote back just now, 3 picks and Jonathan Mogbo.
Yeah, give me picks, Mog. If you want to give me Emmanuel Quickly, that'd be great.
Yeah, so 3 picks, Mogbo and Quickly for Jimmy Butler. You got it. Sign me up.
I'll take all of that, please and thank you. If you want to also give me, like, I don't know.
We'll give you a gently used Thomas Bryant. Gently used. To make the salaries fit.
Thomas Bryant somewhere else. He can't aggregate salary. we'll send Thomas Bryant to like Washington or someplace that wants him. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's back funny. To the Wizards return era.
Return Thomas to sender. Washington that's right. Too. Return to sender. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's it for us today, guys. Catch us every Tuesday and Thursday. I'll see you next time.